You're going, yes. Oh, God. Praise God. Amen. When I said man was giving testimony, it flashed to me, and I give testimony about these two children that God has given me. And one thing I've learned from them is how to be determined. Hallelujah. I thought I was determined, but when you look at the two of them, I see determination that I have not seen in myself. So I remember when Timilola was just 4 years old and he proposed in his heart from 4 years there will be a footballer. Amen. And he has not up to now forgotten that dream and is pursuing it earnestly. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's just God. And he will bring me to what we'll talk about this evening. We're talking about using God's template for our lives. Using God's template for our life. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We thank you for your word. We can't say too much of prayers. We just thank you and thank you because this word comes alive to us all in Jesus' name. And thank you for inspiration. Thank you for impartation. And most importantly, we live here not the same again in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, so I said using God's templates for our lives. And the Bible tells us in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. This for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I read again, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that we are without excuse. Hallelujah. So it says, this part of the scripture says, when you look at the things that are made, okay, you will see God's invisible attributes in these things. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you are wondering, if you just sit and look at nature, you will be able to absorb in nature and appreciate God. Amen. We are celebrating 15 years of Surpassing Grace Assembly Lagos. And hallelujah. Amen. I guess only four of us date back to 15 years here in this room. Amen. Abby? Only four of us. Hallelujah. Amen. But you can imagine that if I say only four of us, and imagine the number of people that belong to Surpassing Grace Assembly Lagos, you will see that there's a multiplication of God's word. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm saying this so that you can begin to think and ruminate, okay, how things start. Hallelujah. And so when God was going to start in Genesis chapter 1, he looked at the end. Amen. Okay. And then he started. Hallelujah. So he so much knew that he would create man. Okay, and then he knew that man will need to survive. Okay, and he started from the simplest of things. Okay, and then he created man, what man that he created had to fall back on every other thing that God had created before him. Hallelujah. And then you begin to wonder and say, that means he knew that he was going to create man. Then he started with light. Hallelujah. But that's just the attribute of God you need to see when you look at nature. Amen. Hallelujah. So when he created man, he said, male and female made he them. Amen. And then he said he created them in his image and likeness. Amen. So if man was created in God's image and likeness, that means that for every man that you see, he carries an attribute of God. Amen. So ordinarily, there is no ordinary man. Hallelujah. From the creation of the earth, there is no man that was created ordinary. everyone has the same image. The same image and likeness. It was created in image and likeness of God. Hallelujah. And I was telling you on Sunday when I was using that key, when I was trying to describe the key, I said that there's when something new is created, okay, is created and that thing has never existed before. That's what I said on Sunday. And I made that analogy with the key. I said, look, some people will say, what are you saying? That key is made of plastic that was picked up around. It's made of iron that everybody knows. The key, the ring holder and everything. I said, look, whatever was put together to make that key, okay, even though they were existing, they come together and have a new orientation and a new function, okay? And that key has not existed before. Hallelujah. So whatever that key was able to do, whatever he's able to open or whatever, it had not existed before, even though every component of that key existed before. Amen. And then we went to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 17 that says that all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And then you can relate with it. And that's why you have a body that is old. And yet you say that you are reborn. Hallelujah. So everything about you, the outer shell, is still the same one that we say. But the new you, which is your spirit man, is reborn by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So when that body goes around and says, oh, I'm a new being, hallelujah, it's not about the casing or the construct. It's about the internal qualities of that being. Hallelujah. It becomes just like what it was bred from, the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's why I'm reading to you that man was not created just for the fun of it. Man was created. God looked at it and said, let us create him in our image and in our likeness. Hallelujah. So everything about him has image and likeness of God. Okay? So before now, if you look at him, he was terribly just like me. But now he's taking his own form. And even the way he's taking his own form, okay, everybody sees, they cannot dissociate him from me. Then you see. You understand? I remember the day he was born and he came out. My brother-in-law, the first thing he said that this has never happened before in our family. Every baby that was born in their family always looked like them. Hallelujah. And then here he was, he came out looking exactly like me and he had 6 digits. You know what that is? You know what 6 digits is? So his digits were 12, just like his father. And everybody started laughing. When my mother came, she couldn't believe it. She said, ha! How come? You have heard everything and then the digits. And then, of course, history repeated itself. You have to tie the 6 digits. Hallelujah. And it's just amazing. And then I remember one day we were traveling. One day, yeah, August 4th, 2010, we were traveling. The two of us was about 2 years old. Okay? And we were traveling. We got to the airport. And the mother was not with me. I was going with him anyway. We were traveling. And then we got to the airport, and the immigration people were like, no, you cannot. This boy, we cannot. Are you sure he's your son? He was sleeping on my shoulder. He said, are you sure he's your son? Blah, 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 blah. And then the boy woke up and looked at him, and everybody just kept quiet. They just froze. They just froze and said, ah, Oga, just let go. Bye-bye. So you can imagine. I was still going to be like, oh, my God. I don't have any letter from his mom that I should take him out. But the way God intervened, the guy, he woke up, looked at them. I'm like, why are you disturbing us? And then they said, you know what, just pass. Hallelujah. So much because there was so much of a likeness. Hallelujah. So you would not doubt that, you couldn't doubt or fault it that, look, these people have a connection. And the same way man was created, there's no way you would doubt that man and God has a connection. Hallelujah. Amen. Except that man walks away from the original intention of God. Or, on the reverse side of it, he does not find himself back to the original design of God by accepting Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, so I was talking about the 15th anniversary, and we are taking notes and learnings from it. So when something is born, hallelujah, or something about to be born, there is what we call a vision. there's a vision. Okay? If you decide that, and for everybody that decides that I want to embark on a project, you don't just embark on a project because you want to embark on a project. The project must have, forget all the project title, project management definitions, but one important thing is that it must have an end product in view. And that end product is what you'll be driving at to ensure that you get to the point where you're going. Hallelujah. Amen. And oftentimes, a lot of people lose focus of that end point and then they get distracted along the line and they never get there. Even though they think that they are moving towards that goal or that end product, they never get there because they are distracted. Hallelujah. Amen. In the first book of the letter of Paul, 1 Corinthians, chapter 2 and verse 16, it says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Hallelujah. "For who has known the mind of the Lord, that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Amen. Hallelujah. So for the one that is reborn, born again, child of God, one has accepted Christ, he has the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. So you know that he has been taken back to his original design and he has the mind of Christ. And so when he's performing or he's doing anything, hallelujah, that mind of Christ is prevalent, is seen in the things that he does. Amen. Hallelujah. So I said, when we look at Romans 1:20, look, the visible attribute of God are seen in the things that are created, okay? And the first thing that you look, that always occurs to me, every time I see a person, is I look at this, I say, someone critically, I said, this person has God's attribute. And what's about this person that God wants me to know? Hallelujah. Amen. So, for everybody is unique, okay? So, I come across someone, I say, everybody's unique. And then I study the person, I say, this person didn't come my way because he just wanted to come my way. There's something about this person that God wants me to understand. Hallelujah. And if you begin to reason like that, you begin to be able to appreciate people around you, and you begin to be able to appreciate God the more. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I said that if you have a project, there's always a vision for it. I say, this is where I'm going, this is what is happening. The same way God had a vision of man. Hallelujah. And God worked from his vision. He worked from that end point to the beginning. Okay? So he looked at it and said, okay, I'm going to create man. And then he started with light and then everything that man will need. Okay? And then he created man. And man became a living soul. Okay? Now, as time went on, if you look at the story at the Tower of Babel, okay? Let's look at it. Genesis chapter 11. So everything that God wanted to create, he created. He looked at it. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He kept saying it, and things started happening. Hallelujah. And it is that same likeness or that same attribute that he breathed into man. Okay? So every man has that creative ability. Okay? And whether you like it or not, every man has that creative ability. And by speaking, you can do the same thing. Amen. Hallelujah. It's when you begin to say things, I think even someone has come about the fact that Dr. James and Pastor Yongi Choda was talking about the fact that the speech part of the brain controls practically every part of the body. Okay? Genesis chapter 11, from verses 1 to 9, it says, "Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, 'Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly.' They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves. Lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth.' You know what they were also all what they were doing? They started by saying, first they said, come, let us make. It says, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. Okay? Now, when they started with come, let us make bricks, you know that what they had in mind was not to make bricks. What they had in mind was to build tower. Hallelujah. But see where they started from. Just the same way God created the earth. What God had in mind was not to be creating light and sun and everything. God had in mind to create man. Hallelujah. And then he started from the basic things that he would need for man. Hallelujah. Okay, for man to exist. And then the same way man started in Genesis 11 and says, and then said, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. Okay. And then the Bible says that, and he said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Hallelujah. So where they were going from the brick and the mortar was actually to build a city and a tower. Hallelujah. And it was just not a city and a tower. They had a purpose and a need and a vision for that city and tower. They were supposed to be in that city and tower so that they will be together and not be scattered abroad. Hallelujah. And then God looked down and saw that, look, there is no stopping these people because they are just like him. Amen. Hallelujah. So you look at it and said, they will achieve it. Especially when they were speaking in one language because they could understand one another. Hallelujah. Do not underestimate the power of God when we have programs like the anniversary that is coming up that talks about building your home. Hallelujah. If every home can have one language, hallelujah, they will be able to do more than they can imagine. Amen. Especially the homes that are built on people that have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. So with the vision, okay, there comes with the vision which is a master plan, there comes a rolling plan in a master plan. Hallelujah. So what will you call the rolling plan? The fact that they were looking for mortar and they were looking for bricks. That would be the rolling plan. And that's for them to achieve the master plan. No man's life is ordinary. And so you cannot be walking the surface of this earth without a vision. Amen. Hallelujah. And your vision cannot be outside your purpose. Amen. Amen. Your vision cannot be outside your purpose. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14 and from verse 28. The Bible says, for which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether it has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Amen. Who was speaking? Christ was speaking to them. Hallelujah. He said, which one of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what that part of the scripture always tells me? That nobody starts and embarks on a vision that is half-baked or half-cooked. You know what I mean? So you can't decide that I want to build a house. And then you just start building a house without envisaging what the house will look like at the end of the day. Amen. Or you're back on the journey and you're like, I'm just going on the journey. And then anybody asks you, where are you going? So I don't know. That's the problem. When I was in school, I had a friend. And then One day she came to me and said, I'm going on a journey. I said, okay, so where are you going? She said, I don't know. I said, you don't know. Where are you going? She said, I don't know. I'm just going to get to the bus stop. When I get to the bus stop, I'll decide on where I am going. And, you know, in my mind, I was like, this is trouble. Number one, the first thing is that if they start looking for her, they first come and ask me, that where is she? So I thought she was kidding, you know. So I said, okay, no problem, let's go. So we got to the bus stop. Within the school, we got to the bus stop. I said, truly, are you for real? Where are you going? She said, I don't know, but I'm going. So I said, okay. And I got in the bus with her. And then we got to the main gate of the school. I said, okay, so we are at the main gate. So where are you going? Is that how we go this way, which is Badon? Is that how you go this way, this is Badon? And this way is into Ife Town and then the rest of it. Said, I don't even know. Then we were on that spot for some minutes. And I was like, oh my God, how did I get here? Hallelujah. Aimless. You know, that was aimless. So after a while, she now said, okay, we're going to the right, to the left. So we went to the left. Said, okay, you know what? In fact, I'm going to worry. I'm going to my sister and worry. And I'm like, if I leave this girl, the next thing that they'll be looking for, we won't know where she is in the whole of Nigeria. And then there was no GSM. There was no phone to call and tell anybody that, guy. So I just kukuma, without carrying any item of clothing, I just kukuma and said, okay, no problem. We entered worry bus together. And then we started going. And then we got to worry around 7:30. And then see Mrs. Ajay opening her mouth. Amen. When we have family seminar, I will tell you more. And then we got to worry. And then we got to our sister's place. And then I said, you know what? Tomorrow morning, me, I'm going back. At least I've added you to your sister. Because it just could not click in my head that anybody will aimlessly start on a journey. Journey that is not defined. Do you know that's how a lot of people live their lives? Amen. Hallelujah. That's how a lot of people live their lives. You just see them going and going and going. And then you ask them, what's the reason for this? And then they just take a left turn and say, you know what? This is not this way. And then that way. You know what? And then that's me that is saying, okay, this way, this way. That's what the church does for us. Hallelujah. That's what coming to church and the church does for us. It helps you, okay, along the way until you are able to stand on your own and do things properly. Hallelujah. Amen. So oftentimes when people say, why are you going to church? This thing. See, I purposely read Romans 1:20 to you guys, okay? Because when you look at nature, you'll be able to appreciate God. So I looked at him and said, this is how we just do things aimlessly or without purpose. And God is saying, okay, I'm with you here. What's the next thing? And he said, you know what? Why don't you go this way or go back to where you are coming from? I will keep saying, no. This is the way until finally he's able to turn your, get attention, get hold of the attention of our whole being. And then we look at him and say, okay, now there's focus. And you know that immediately there is focus, everything changes. Amen. Hallelujah. I had a friend once, and I'll go to that friend, and I'll just be talking. I'll say, you know what? What I'm doing now, I'm working. The next thing I want to do masters. Then when, after I do masters, I think maybe I'll marry. We'll just be talking. And then they got a point, I never got beyond the fact that I'll marry. Hallelujah. So when it's a progressive thing. So I was just talking. I said, okay, I'm doing this now. Then I'll do masters. Then even the masters, I was just wavy. Everybody just doing masters. And then after that, I get married. And then after I get married, then I did not say anything. And I remember very well that I did not say anything. And I did not plan that after I get married, this will happen. Okay. And then I went. I did the masters, and the masters was really like this. And then I got married. And when I got married, I just started laughing. I said, there will be a problem if you do not make a plan right now. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So, because when you wake up, when you go to bed and wake up, what are you waking up to? Are you getting me? What are you waking up to? When God did day one, day two, he knew what he would do on day three. He knew what he would do on day four because he had day six in mind. And then he will rest. Hallelujah. Amen. So, wasn't just doing anything or allowing things to pass by and pass by and pass by and saying, okay, I'm just flowing. Sarah, what's going to be is going to be. Just not like that. And that's why we cannot be like that. Hallelujah. Amen. And you see, like I was saying on Sunday again, I said, the cell is the basic unit of life. So also is the home. It's the basic unit of any community. And don't get it wrong. Some people are nice outside. And when they get home, they are not exactly nice outside because it's just a facade. You are your real self when you're at home. Abi? So if you want to know how people look like, just knock on their door early in the morning when they are just waking up. And if they come to the door, you'll be like, oh my God, hallelujah, amen. Yeah, it's difficult to see anybody come out. It's difficult to see anybody come out early in the morning. And then his hair is shining, he's wearing, and then he's all, no. Is that a puffy or anything? And then some people just never come out. Why? Because that's the person down to earth, nitty gritty, everything. Okay? Hallelujah. And if we will keep, we will build our home, it has to be according to God's template. Amen. Hallelujah. The first home that God created, the first one he created in the Garden of Eden. Hallelujah. It was just a man and a woman. Okay? And then the third person was God. Amen. When he sent them out of the garden, he did not leave them without taking care, without making provision for them in the future. Hallelujah. And neither did he leave them. Okay? He just sent them out of the garden and said, look, you guys, so that you don't mess up things. These are the things that you're going to be doing. And then man's assignment changed. Okay? And then he had to follow that thing. If you look at when Adam and Eve gave back to Seth, he said then they gave back to Enosh, and then man started talking to God. That's what the Bible says. The man started talking to God. Okay? So he never left them on their own. He was there all the way. Just like I was telling you about that, so he was there all the way. Anything, even when Cain was going to kill Abel, if he had listened, he would have known, he had reasoned, he would have known that what he was going to do was not meant to do it. And even after he had done it, God still came and said, where is your brother? And you know what he said? Am I my brother's keeper? Amen. Hallelujah. If God could make provision, even though he knew that man would fall, he could make provision for everything along the way. Huh? That means that he understood the fact that at a point in time, Christ will come. Christ will come and restore man back to his position, right? Of fellowship with him. Now, all these things that we're reading in the scriptures, we would not have been able to read it. We would not have been able to say that, look, God, in spite of who you are, God is God. Hallelujah. Amen. In spite of the things that you do, God still remains God. And who is he? He's always there. He says the ever-abiding God. Hallelujah. The one that is more than enough. Amen. So you have to be using God's template for your life. This template of God I've shown you. And there are so many that you can get out of God. Because he's multifaceted. Hallelujah. So to some people, he's the Lord God of war. Amen. And some people, he's the God of peace. Hallelujah. So my people say that, so if I'm facing you, then I'm backing some people. If you are people at my back. Hallelujah. So what they will be seeing will be my physique from the back. And what you people will be seeing is my face. But you are seeing the same person. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to take that original template of God, which is his image and his likeness, and begin to walk therein. And I showed us what he did, what man did in the Tower of Babel. They were speaking. And then that same attribute of God, of knowing the end from the beginning, they had it. And typically, everybody always thinks that he has it, but people never close up that vision properly before they begin on the journey. Amen. And that's why the Bible says in Habakkuk 2 that you should write the vision, make it plain, so that you may run with it. Hallelujah. You may run with it. Amen. I was telling you about Tebloluwa. So at the age of 4, we took him to a football club in Ikoyi, 4 years. And then they gave him jersey and everything. And the ball was bigger than his feet. And I always laughed that, well, he's just a boy. Let him just enjoy himself. And as he continued to grow and grow and grow, he never departed from it. And he keeps saying it, that this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. And then I looked at him and said, why am I spending money? Why am I spending so much money going to school? If at the end of the day, this is what he wants to do. Amen. But you have to have a stubborn consistency with the things that God has placed in your heart for you to do. You know what I call a stubborn consistency? Hallelujah. That no matter how, so this is the end point. And you know that this is the end point. No matter what storm comes your way, you have to keep at it in that same line till you get to that end point. Amen. So God never departed from the fact that Christ will come, he will die, and he will save the world. Hallelujah. And everything that was orchestrated against the boy Jesus, okay, did not deter the end from coming to be. There was a stubborn consistency about it. God was always there, making sure that the wrong steps were not taken in preserving the life of that boy. Amen. Through his parents, through the wise men, through every channel that was available, that consistent walk towards the end, God made sure of it. And the same way, we also want to make sure that in our work with him, or whatever vision he has given to us, we are consistent to the end. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it was, I said in the garden, it was the man, the woman, and God. Hallelujah. Amen. And it was, they had a fellowship with God. If we will come together as a family and a home, amen, that God factor, we cannot take it out. Okay? We cannot take it out. Because it's a uniting factor. The moment God was out of it, there was chaos between the two of them. Hallelujah. They could not stand their ground because they took the God factor out of it. In Matthew chapter 12. Not Matthew 12. Okay, it's Matthew 12. Matthew 12 and verse 25. It says, but Jesus, he knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself will not stand. Hallelujah. Amen. Because God had given them an instruction and they departed from that instruction, that tripartite relationship was no longer holding. Amen. And so they had to move out. Hallelujah. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 29. The New Living Translation says that when people do not accept divine guidance, they will run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. You know, that's it, your typical, what do you call it? Give me the King James Version. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. In KJV. Okay, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, the people perish. So if there is no end in mind, hallelujah, there is going to be chaos. You are going to be doing things without direction. And then the end of it, he calls it perishing, hallelujah. But he says, he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Amen. And what does it tell you about the law? It means tells you that the law guides you in your vision. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, but, so where there is no vision, the people perish. It says, but he that keeps the law is what? He's happy. Hallelujah. And when you look at what the law entails, the law talks about you, what? Loving God and loving man. Hallelujah. When you are able to do that, then you are a happy person. Amen. All the time and in any endeavor, there must be an end that is defined in mind. You don't go into any venture without an end that is defined in mind. Amen. I was looking at the U.S. I didn't follow it, but I looked at the U.S. election and I smiled. And then I saw that it says, I don't know, I didn't read it. I just saw an headline, but I didn't read it. But I saw it says that Trump gives Elon Musk a ministry to head or something. Did you see that heading? And then I smiled. Hallelujah. And then I said to my wife, I said, you know what? When if you look at this guy that's just been giving a ministry to Ed, is where he's going, he has not reached there. Okay? If you go and study him, everything that he has been doing, I'm not surprised that he's where he is today, because I saw it during the election. I'm not surprised where he is today. And in the next couple of years, you will see the things that you'll be doing. That's when people have a vision and a mission, and they're following stubbornly. Hallelujah. We have the mind of Christ. We can do better and birth better things in this time. Amen. Hallelujah. We can do better and birth better things. I mean, when we dissect the word of God and we follow it consistently and stubbornly, we can influence people and get to positions where our influence cannot but be tolerated. Everybody will tolerate it because they don't have a choice. Hallelujah. When God gives a vision to a man, it's not for that man, it's for him to be glorified. Except the man derails from it. Okay? But every time that happens, it's for God to be glorified. So if you use God's template of creation for our life, we'll see many more things that the scripture talks about come to reality. Because now we have the mind of Christ. Things will not come to us by surprise. We'll be able to say things, walk away, and say that it is done. Amen. Because we are born after the one that speaks, and things get done. Hallelujah. Let's rise to our feet. Proverbs 19:21 says, you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. And Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your actions to God and your plans will succeed. Amen. It says, commit your actions to God and your plans will succeed. Let's just talk to him. What is important is a realization and a reawakening, getting to understand that a very deposit of the Spirit that is on the inside of us, that life-giving spirit that God has given to us, that is able to give us that ability to create and recreate. Just thank him, because indeed we will live a life full of power by the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. Thank you for your word that has gone forth. Thank you because we will not be the same. It starts up something in our spirit. And until we are able to get a release, thank you because we'll stay there, learning from you always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.